reports of 50,000, 60,000 slaves. Probably something on the order of 1 million people were removed from their homes in the Mediterranean, many of them in the Greek world, and ended up on the Roman slave markets in the late 2nd and 1st century B.C. It's just a phenomenal ability of the Romans to take over the wealth of their victims. And this was evident when a second Roman army showed up after the Battle of Magnesia, commanded by a man named Manlius Volso, and he didn't have any victim. He had no Seleucid army to defeat, so he simply went through Asia Minor and extorted. He sold treaties at cut rates to cities, beat up the Galatians just because they were there, and paid off his soldiers with vast amounts of loot and slaves. And this was a preview to what the Romans would potentially do to Greek cities. And so, as I said, that the Romans knocked down the great Hellenistic monarchies. By 167 BC, there was no power in the former Alexandrine Empire that came close to the Romans. I mean, the Romans controlled effectively the Greek world. But they didn't take over any territory. They didn't establish legions. And only gradually and reluctantly were they drawn in. And this was because of rebellions, because of political disorder. There's a famous rebellion that breaks out in Macedon in 148, where there's a pretender, a man named Andriscus, claims to be descended from the last king of the Macedonians. The Romans come in, put down the rebellion, put down a rebellion in Greece, and finally they have to start organizing provinces. The Pergamene kings, the Attalid kings, realized that they were so much in the debt of the Romans, and really, as a group, the Attalid kings, they built really nice monuments, but many saw them as nothing more than the lackeys of the Romans. The last Attalid king, Attalus III, willed his kingdom to Rome. In 133 BC, he died without heirs, and the Roman Republic, the Senate and people of Rome, became the owners of what they came to call Asia, that is, the expanded Pergamon kingdom, the western third of Asia Minor of Turkey today. There was immediately a rebellion. The Romans had to send in an army and mop up the rebels. It took them 4 years to put the province in order. And the Romans did what they're extremely good at. They built a major military highway up the Menander Valley, and they also looted the hell out of Asia. Furthermore, Rome at this point in the time of the annexation of Asia in 133 BC, was going through a series of political disorders brought on by popular reformers, men called populares in Latin. First of them, a man named Tiberius Gracchus. Some have mistaken this as democratic reforms. They're not democratic at all. There was never democracy in Rome and never had a prayer. But in any event, these were reformers who represented the interests of the wider Roman citizen body and the allies, clamoring that the profits of empire should be shared more equitably back in Italy. And those clamors for reform set off a century of violence, political revolution in Italy, which is very often known as the Roman Revolution, that ended up in the downfall of the Roman Republic. And that is a whole story in and of itself. But as the Roman Republic was going through the convulsions of social and political reform and revolution in Italy, they were doing an extremely good job of mismanaging their provinces, particularly their provinces in Asia Minor. In 133 BC, when Asia, that is the former kingdom of Pergamon, passed to the Romans, it was decided that this province should be exploited to the benefit of the Roman people. Gaius Gracchus, the brother of the first reformer, Tiberius, decided that the best way to achieve this was to turn Asia over to tax farmers. These were men drawn from property classes in Italy, known as the equestrians. They're the class just below the political class of the Senate. And the equestrians were given the right to set up companies and tax the province. This meant they would pay upfront 5 years' revenues to the Roman Republic. And so the Republic didn't have to worry about administration or the cost of running the provinces. This required huge amounts of money. That is, prominent Romans put together these stock companies, in effect, purchased the right to tax the province. Now, when the equestrians sent their agents into Asia, they collected not only the tax, but the cost of collection and anything else for profit. And Roman notions of profit, well, a reasonable profit is at least 300% for most Romans. Anything below that would probably be outrageous. The mismanagement and the extortion that went on was absolutely shocking at times, even by Roman standards.